The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Hi everyone, Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com here with you this week with another new Top 5. We hope you enjoy this episode. It is brought to you free of charge thanks to the great support of all of our VIP members at members.majorspoilers.com. Without these fine people making a small monthly contribution, we wouldn't be able to bring shows like Top 5 to you when we do. If you would like to become a Major Spoilers VIP, we would really appreciate it. You just point your browser to members.majorspoilers.com, read all the information, check out all of the extra stuff you get when you become a Major Spoilers VIP, and sign up today. Thank you so much. Here's your show. To Top 5, a show where we count things down from 5 to number 1, and everything in between. This is Top 5. Now, the governor of our state continues to embarrass us every single day. Whether it's plunging the state into an economic deficit that we may never recover from, dumb down the education system, or change the way we're supposed to treat other people in the job environment, many are asking, what's the matter with Kansas? Why would I want to live there? This week's Top 5, the Top 5 Reasons to Live in Kansas.
All of mine are, I don't know. We'll see you next week, ladies and gentlemen.
It is so frustrating. It is so, so frustrating sometimes. Especially this last week. And I think that's why we picked this. I think this was a listener request, but just the things, the actions of our governor this week.
This week's suggestion came out of the growing social conscience of everyone that lives in Kansas.
Yes, yes.
Everyone who lives near Kansas.
Rodrigo, you are, let's see, well, I'm going to say you are the newest resident of Kansas.
Yeah, probably.
Why don't you start us off with number 5?
Okay. My number 5, I spend a lot of time driving up and down the state. So I've actually seen a lot of Kansas. Sometimes, if you are lucky as you are driving across the state, you might get to see one of these. I'm talking about pheasants.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Pheasants are super cool. They have like really long tails and they fly around and they look like magical chickens.
Yeah.
they do. It's like, think of a chicken and then think of like what a magic chicken would look like. That's a pheasant. That's totally a pheasant. If you had a chicken adventure and the chicken adventurers were going to consult the great mystical chicken, that chicken would be a pheasant.
So you laugh, Matthew, but growing up, my neighbors had, you know, farms. And so they had chickens and cows and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Right next to the chicken coop, a pheasant pen where they were also raising pheasants.
Really?
Yep.
Do they use them to
use them for eggs? No, use them for eggs.
Just think about this. OK,
for real?
Yeah.
The chickens are all in Mordor and the Balrog is coming and the pheasant leaps up and you shall not pass.
Yep, that's exactly right.
When I lived in Atlanta, I went into the one of the drugstores one day. It was a Sunday. I happened to have the university shirt on. Mm. And the guy looks at me and he's like, "Hey, it's Kansas, huh?" I'm like, "Yeah. I used to go, I went pheasant hunting there a few years ago out in Hayes, Kansas." Mm-hmm. It's like, yep, that's a popular destination spot for hunters around the country.
All over the place.
I am very fond of talking to my friends who come from urban areas. And telling them that there's an organization out here and actually across the U.S. called Pheasants Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them, what do you think that Pheasants Forever does? And they're like, well, are they like, they like try to maintain their habitats and stuff? And I'm like, Ducks Unlimited? That's right. That's right. No, they're exactly like Ducks Unlimited. And I'm like, that's right. They do. Do you know why? And they're like, well, because they love pheasants. And I was like, to eat. And even then, probably not. It's a hunting organization. Mm-hmm. So, rolled up in this, because I really don't have anything against hunting per se. Like, if you, the main thing that I have against hunting is how early you have to get up to do it. Yeah. That's the main reason why absolutely. I probably never go hunting.
Hunting and cold.
I like looking at pheasants. They're super cool. But also, another perk of living in Kansas is if you're a hunter, you can shoot them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wow, nice, Rodrigo. Pheasants. Pheasants, a good reason to live in Kansas.
It's like better than all mine.
You think? Let's find out, Zach. What is your number five?
My number five is like a weird, not as specific one as Rodrigo's, as he so eloquently described the pheasant. Mine is just like the size of town differentials you can find in Kansas.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Steve and I are recording this in Hayes, which...
30,000 people.
About 30,000 when school's in session.
Yep.
I grew up, for the most part, 45 minutes down the interstate in a town that is now around 900 people.
Yep.
There was an influx.
Yeah. That's all over the state. There's small towns, and then you do about a 30-minute drive, and you're in a town like Hayes or Salina, maybe, and then you have another little jaunt. You can be in Wichita or Topeka. Or Kansas City.
Yeah, I grew up 45 minutes from Lawrence, half hour from Lawrence, half hour from Topeka, and population of my town, 800 people on a good day, and I could drive up to Lawrence or Topeka. And,
yeah.
Although when I was growing up around Lawrence, the population of Lawrence would double when school was in session.
Yeah, sure. So,
and there was only one high school. I don't know. I think they've got a couple of high schools in Lawrence now.
When I lived right outside Lawrence, it blew up.
Yeah, you were at Eudora. Yeah, we used to play them all the time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so I really like, I mean, people will make fun of small towns, and we'll have conversations with people when I go to see, like, my mom in Phoenix, and I'll tell my stepdad, yeah, we grew up in a small town, and he's from Seattle.
Yeah.
And so he actually came out here, and he's like, oh, you meant, like, a city block is what you lived on, but it was spread out through the entirety of the town. Like, yes, it's exactly what we lived on. It is a small town, but no one understands it. But there's... something nice about living in a small town. I think there's a lot of stereotypes that are pretty much right on the head, but there's, being able to just goof off and do some things that you most certainly wouldn't get away with in a city.
Yeah.
In a small town has its draw, and then you can go be sophisticated in the old town.
Yep.
In the old city.
Matthew, what do you have for your number five?
My number five is actually almost exactly the same as Zach's, the balance of city to town ratio, in that I'm really lucky in that I'm in the capital of Kansas, which is kind of like being the valedictorian at night school, but it's the third largest city in the state. And I live just south of town. Technically, I live in an unincorporated region that isn't Topeka, but here's the deal. If I want like, a real metropolitan experience, I'm 45 minutes from Kansas City, which is pretty dang close to the kind of experience you get in actual towns.
Yep.
I can go to, I know Weird Al is going to be playing either Lawrence or Kansas City. One of my favorite poets on Twitter lives in Lawrence, so I could go over and I could see her. There are a lot of options, and here's the best part. Let's say I want to go and I want to have sushi and eat sushi off a young college girl in Kansas City. I can go do that, but I can come home. Ask me what's great about my home. Great. I'm glad you asked. If I go to my local grocery, this actually happened to me. I went to my local grocery. There was an issue with my paycheck. And I went in and I said, and the name of the store is John's. And I said, John, because John was behind the counter. I said, John, I need to write you a check. And I need to go $150 over the amount so that I can pay my water bill. Now, if I did that in a Dillon's, if I did that in a Hy-Vee or a Piggly Wiggly, they would laugh me out of the store. John was like, let me see if I have it. And John let me borrow $150 from him to pay my water bill until my paycheck came in the next day. That is the best part of that small town thing is the store is John's. That's John. John knows me. John knows that I live across the street and I'll be back tomorrow. John treats me like, you know, he would anybody in the small town who hasn't bounced a check at his store. So we have that. You have the best of the both worlds. My kid is growing up here, and I'm relatively sanguine with that. There's, I mean, there are, yes, people who tell her that science is a lie.
Ugh.
But there are also people who expand her horizons. She, you know, at one point she was 3 or 4, and we were at Chuck E. Cheese for a birthday party. And one of the girls at the birthday party pointed out a little boy and said, "Why does that little boy have brown skin?" And my kid looked at her and said, "Because his mommy and daddy had brown skin. Let's go play skee ball."
Yeah, yeah.
I really like that. I like the fact that she's exposed to some of the diversity that you get in a larger city. But then she also has that thing where, you know, the water doesn't get turned off because John's a nice guy. So my number five is the same as Zach's, that balance of the city to the town.
My number five is a little bit more drastic than any of yours. Well, I remember the first time that I experienced this. I was probably, I want to say 8. Now, I'd been going to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and to Denver with my family as a young little kid. But mm-hmm. I guess it didn't really surprise me until one morning we were doing our 2-week family vacation trip to all over God knows where. And I got up at 8 o'clock in the morning, got out of the camper, and I looked and I could see the curvature of the earth. And I proclaimed, "Wow, Western Kansas is flat." And if you get out toward the Oakley-Colby area, you will experience this on a clear day, seeing the curvature of the earth.
I remember that from college.
Hey, what's the elevation? What were we joking the other day about Kansas is literally as flat as a pancake or something like that as far as the elevation goes?
Yep.
There is quite a bit of difference in elevation. I mean, Matthew is about like 900 feet above sea level, and we're at like 1,800 feet above sea level.
Quinter is at half a mile.
Yeah, so, you know, it does rapidly, once you get past Colby, it does start to increase rapidly once you get towards
and
Colorado and Denver.
Really, that stereotype comes if you drive I-70.
Yes.
If you get off I-70 at all,
right,
it's hilly.
Yeah, but man, if you're going I-70, it is just flat. And that's the thing most of the people that I talk about who have driven I-70 are like, "Man, Kansas is flat and there's mm-hmm. not a lot to see." But I'll come back and address that a little bit later on.
It's a six-legged
Rodrigo, what is your number four?
My number four, I drive around Kansas a lot. I've gone up and down the state. And sometimes if you're driving across Kansas, you can be lucky enough to see one of these.
Okay.
I'm talking about like a red-tailed hawk.
Mm, yeah.
Oh.
There's actually all kinds of awesome raptors in Kansas. Mm-hmm. There is a, I'm pretty sure there's an American kestrel that lives like very close to my house, and it's always like flying around trying to find something small enough to eat around here, which I'm sure there's plenty. There's like voles, I'm sure. I know it's a kestrel because it has that like blue plumage, and I know it's American because I can pick up his Wi-Fi.
Man.
Stop it. It's late.
Sorry. No, but, there's actually all kinds of cool raptors in Kansas. And it's the sort of thing where, like, having lived in an urban environment for the majority of my life, every once in a while, I'll just go to work. And you talk about small towns. As of the last census, the town where I work, had 100 inhabitants. So I'll drive to work and there'll be like the farm, like the fence posts, and sitting on a fence post just hanging out will be this sizable hawk.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just kind of hanging not out. Really. Yeah. Just hanging
Morning.
Out, doing his thing.
Morning, I've Rodrigo.
Yeah.
How's it going?
I've seen hawks hunt, like just driving around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've seen them dive into the ditch.
Yep.
And come up with something that's trying to struggle to get away.
It might, probably
a pheasant.
It might surprise people, but I grew up in the country, 30 acres of land, and on Saturday afternoons when I would mow the grass, it was very common for us to watch the hawks dive down and get rats out of the or mice out of the fields, and just watch them circle and then just go boom and then come back up. So
yep, Kansas has some cool Hawks, some cool Falcons, probably gets an Eagle every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, some cool birds in Kansas.
Yep. Zach, what you got?
My number four is one that has been plagued by our great governor recently due to budgets. But I think a great reason to come to Kansas is for our universities. We have a lot of good stuff here. Fort Hayes is great if you want a smaller, cheaper education.
I wouldn't say cheaper education. Lower cost education.
Sure, not as expensive
but
as other.
Quality.
Yes.
Great university. It's not going to cost you as much.
Yes.
Wichita State is great. K-State. And then you have KU. All have great recognition through academics and sports. You can go, I think, Wichita State and KU are both ranked nationally in basketball right now.
Yeah.
Fort Hayes women are ranked super nationally. High in
I think
nationally
they're in the
right
top
now.
25, right?
Yeah, I think they're like four or six or something right now. So if you like sports, Kansas is a great place for college sports to happen. But, you know, they're also, you can get a nice education. K-State has a lot of agriculture. Mm-hmm. And they have that, like, bioterrorism thing they're building out there, which is really super scary.
Yeah.
KU has a lot of good stuff. Fort Hayes has all the good media and the good online school in Wichita State. I went to a cadaver lab once. They have that if you want to look at cadavers.
And Wichita State has dead bodies.
So if you're looking at going to university, I think Kansas has some options for you.
Awesome. Matthew.
My number four is something that was very near and dear to me growing up as a child. I did not grow up in Topeka, Kansas myself. I grew up north and east here. Why I'm talking like I'm from Texas right now, I have no idea, because people don't talk like that up there. In Mitchell County, Kansas, a small town called Beloit, like 275 people, salute.
No, that's way bigger than that.
Oh, I don't know. It's maybe 3,800 people.
It's a 3A school.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
It's about 3,800.
Okay. I don't know. I'll take your word for it. But here's the thing about it is every fall and summer-ish, my grandfather and my uncles and my family would pack up the family and we would drive westward to Glen Elder, Kansas. And we would basically hang out at the lake and we would do campy type things. But if you went a little bit further down the road, you would end up in the thriving metropolis of Cocker City, Kansas.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And in Cocker City, Kansas, you will find one of the seven wonders of the modern world. That being what is currently now the world's biggest ball of twine, built not by a single person, because apparently there's a lot of competition in there the largest twine ball area.
There is.
And this is not the one that Weird Al sang about, although it should have been. And I'm like, Al, buddy, dude, what, who, how, why would you do that? Cocker City is population, I'm going to say 400 people, maybe.
Small.
Little tiny town. They had a Tasty Freeze, which was like a Dairy Queen for really, really white people. But we would go, and every year they would have the Twine-a-thon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you would go, and the people would bring their twine, and they would wrap it up. Now, here's the thing. It's no longer really a ball.
Not
it's
even
more
close.
Of a,
no, it's more
it's
like a
heap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the world's largest heap of twine built by a community doesn't have the same thing. It doesn't have a round bottom because it's thing. But they built a nice pagoda over it.
Yeah.
It's kind of really the only reason the city still exists for intents and purposes. There's like nine people there.
Yeah. I had to do a bunch of filming up in Glen Elder one summer, so I got to drive past the ball of twine a couple of times. It was the first time I've ever seen it, and it is a sight to behold, man.
It is
awesome.
It is massive.
I think when the chickens go find the mystical chicken that is actually a pheasant, he resides in the ball of twine.
It's true.
Yeah.
Within
a small
the heart
door in the back
of the mystical ball of twine. But the great part about, I think, the mythical ball of twine is if you break it down and you were to like run this out, you could take the twine and go halfway around all of the mystic chickens in the entire state.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could use it to wrap around the governor so he can't sign any more executive orders. And that would be my number four, the biggest ball of twine or the biggest heap of twine.
It's super cool.
It's the biggest ball, dang it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to stand beside it because it makes me look thinner.
When you said, Matthew, that your number four is close to your heart, I thought you had stolen my number four.
Uh-huh.
Pizza Hut was invented here.
No, that's close to my stomach.
Wichita, Kansas, the home of Pizza Hut. In fact, I remember as a young lad going to the state track meet, participating in that, and right literally across the street from the stadium is this little brick building, which was the first Pizza Hut, and they still serve pizza by the slice out there. Now, I don't know if it's still there, but it served as a monument and as a working Pizza Hut at that time. Of course, the founders of Pizza Hut sold off to National Corporation, and one of them now is Papa John's, right? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for a reason, Pizza Hut. Maybe Pizza Hut's not the reason to live in Kansas, but certainly Pizza Hut being invented here shows that, hey, we've got a couple of things going eventually, and Pizza Hut is one of them.
Do you miss the Red Hat restaurant?
I do. I went for a long time because it seemed like everybody that I would talk to about Pizza Hut would not remember the little guy with the hat and the mustache. And right. I was like, I swear to goodness, my very first pizza was this pizza that I swear was called the Pizza Hut. And it had this little guy with the apron and the hat and the mustache. And I remember that the pizza take home, it wasn't in a box. It was on this flat disc cardboard. And then they wrapped the pizza around it to form kind of a little tent on top, and it was just stapled together, and that's how you carried your pizza home. And for the longest time, people were like, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. And then I finally, thanks to the internet, looked it up and discovered that was what Pizza Hut was like back in the early 70s.
Yeah. The buildings now, there's still one here in Topeka that's no longer a Pizza Hut. The last I heard, it was an El Charo. Before that, it was a Los Charles. Before that, it was El Centinela. The Mexican restaurants just sort of rotate around in circles.
Yeah.
But they painted the Red Hat green.
Oh, yeah.
And every time I go by there,
the ones here are still red.
I know, but I feel bad because if I can tell that it's green, everybody can tell that it's green, and that's just problematic for me.
You can go to Wichita State University, as Zach mentioned a little bit ago, and learn all about Pizza Hut because that's where the building is at. Still on the campus, apparently. 1,077 square feet.
Oh, yeah.
Built in 1958.
Or I could avoid Wichita like the plague.
Yeah, that's probably the better. That's probably the better idea.
Okay.
So that was our number four. Rodrigo, it is time to get to our number three.
All right, my number three. So I drive up and down Kansas a lot. I've been to a lot of places in Kansas. So if you're driving across the state, if you're lucky enough, you might see one of these by the side of the road, and hopefully not in front of you on the road. I'm talking about the scariest animal in Kansas, as far as I'm concerned, snapping turtles.
Oh, God.
Yeah, snapping turtles are frightening animals. And they made it on my list because they're super cool. And also because, unlike, say, snakes, which are also scary, they usually won't get into your house.
Yes.
But snapping turtles are the reason why I'll never just like walk around a creek in Kansas, or I'm sorry, as they say here, a creek in Kansas. Like, not even barefoot. Forget that. Like, if I went in with boots, those things could probably tear a chunk out of
my
boots.
Unless they were perfectly steel all the way around, probably. And growing up as a kid, it might surprise you, I did often travel around in the wooded area and the Water Creek area, and it was often a scary moment when all of a sudden that little ridged hump rose out of the water and you just ran for it.
When I worked up on the hill at WIBW back when it was up on the Menninger campus, for these are words which mean things to Kansas.
Yeah, it does.
Spoiler, right, just stick along. There was a pond. And at one point, we went up there, and there was something burp across the road to get to the pond. Massive snapping turtle. And one of my coworkers is like, I'm going to go, and I'm going to poke him. Get him off the middle of the road. I'm going to use my stick. And this stick was about the thickness of your average broom-type stick. It was something that he had for his camera gear. And it was like aluminum or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, and he was like, burp. And the snapping turtle got his face on it and went and literally nearly bit halfway through it like Matter Eater Lad. And I'm like, Rick, let's not mess with the turtle. Let's let the turtle go where he's going. So the turtle kept walking. and walked across and eventually got in there. But to this day, I just remember him putting that stick down there and trying to push it and having that turtle just turn around with his turtle face and bite it.
Yep.
To the death.
If you amazing. Go to the Sternberg Museum, they have a turtle. I forget what his name is.
Oh, that turtle is terrifying.
He swims in a big tank right as soon as you walk in the door. And he's a big snapping turtle. I forget what his name is, but.
Tippy.
I think it's like Fred or something like that.
I think it's like Eugene or something.
Maybe something
yeah,
like that.
That thing.
It's one of the early alphabet letters.
That looks like a dark version of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Scary. It's scary.
He looks like Razor from that first movie.
Snapping Turtles, Rodrigo's number three. Zach, what do you have for number three?
Mine kind of goes off of your Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah?
But more just general. And I would say a great reason to live in Kansas is the food we have here.
Because
I think we have some pretty awesome food choices. One, Arthur Bryant's. Is it technically in Missouri? Yeah. But,
but it's in Kansas City, Missouri, and that still counts.
It's so close to Kansas, you could throw a rock and you could hit.
Sure.
You could hit Arthur Bryant.
Sure. Ruth's Chris.
Joe's.
Sure.
And yeah, Kansas City has a lot of good barbecue.
Yes, it does.
It's well known for its barbecue. You should eat there all the time. Gela's and Hayes.
Award winning,
like small pub of the year. If you want some beer and you're in Hayes, yeah, that's the place to go.
Had an amazing date there last summer. It was really good food.
The beer there is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. We have two small brewers here.
Yep.
They both make some good... Defiance.
Okay, I thought there was one more.
Is there?
Yeah, Tap House. They brew their own stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So three.
Yeah. So we have some good stuff here. There's some good food in here. Salina has Martinelli's, which I think is really good Italian food. But really, besides that, I'm just talking Gela's beer, Arthur Bryant's barbecue.
And what about that place where they throw the rolls at you?
That actually is deep into Missouri.
No, it's not. Isn't it in Abilene?
No, the throwed rolls.
That's in Missouri.
Okay. What about
Abilene has the... that is really good also. The old chicken place right off the interstate thing, because Abilene's on the interstate.
Brass some chicken. What about that hamburger joint, the Cozy Inn?
Cozy Inn in Salina.
Yeah, Cozy Inn is good.
Al's Chickenette.
Sure.
Yeah, that's food.
Hey, come on.
If
you've been out on a late night drinking Gill's beer, you want to have.
Drastically.
Yes. Yeah, the owner sold
from
it.
From what it used to be. Like, it's gone through several ownership changes.
Even since I've lived here, it has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 1989, I would have agreed with you.
Oh, that it was good?
That it was very good. But I think by even the time that I moved away, which was 1998, it wasn't what it used to be. Nothing is ever what it used to be.
Never, ever again, Matthew, which is why we're asking you for your number three.
My number three is exactly what it used to be. And my number three requires a little bit of buildup. Sometimes when you're driving across Kansas, you might see, never mind. I have a friend who lives in Texas, and she is constantly lamenting to me that she never gets any snow. And I have a friend who lives in Miami, Florida, and she is constantly lamenting to me that it never gets really, really, really warm in the winter. And I have a friend who tells me that Wisconsin gets too cold, and I say, well, yeah, we got all of that and worse. We have in Kansas, my number three, a variety of generally awful, but still varietized weather. Right now in the winter, this afternoon, it snowed like 4 inches and it's already gone. A couple of weeks in January, actually, I had a day where it was 70 degrees, a day where it was 60 degrees, and then 4 degrees and it snowed. But then it was 50 afterwards. It's kind of like roulette. They say if you don't like the weather in Kansas, just wait 5 minutes. I say if you don't like the weather in Kansas, move. But we have warm springs. We have sometimes too hot summers, but we have like hot summers where you can go and hang out at the beach. And there will be ladies in bikinis, and that's always nice. And then you have a nice kind of a cool, windy kind of fall thing going on where you get those days where you can walk around with a jacket, maybe hold hands with a pretty girl, don't let your wife find out. When it gets to be winter, you get the snow, you get the sledding, you get all the crap. And yes, we occasionally do have tornadoes. But I can tell you, faithful spoilerites, for 43 years I have lived in this state, I have taken no specific precautions to not be tornadified. And I have never, to date, been tornado fine. I've seen them go over. One night in college, I saw three of them go over on three consecutive nights and crash down in Yosemite.
Yep, I remember that.
But that's not me. That's over there. But that's like when people crash behind me in traffic. That's not me.
Yeah, no. I agree with you. I mean, we are pretty lucky not to have experienced some of that. But then again, what is it? Greensboro.
Greensburg.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Greensburg got totally
flat. I think
flattened.
Isn't that in Missouri too?
No.
Greensburg? No, it's in southern Kansas.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never been down there.
It looks like it is my number three. Yeah. Kind of like Matthew, it's somewhat related to weather, but more there. I was joking. My number five about the curvature of the earth. I mean, you really can't see it. But really, Kansas has a very diverse environment. If you go to southwest Kansas, you're basically down in the Ozarks,
mm-hmm.
and it is beautiful down there. You can go up into north central Kansas, and it is, cornfields and wheat and just beauty and rolling hills and all sorts of nice stuff. You can go down into southwest Kansas, and you can find... You can go up into northeast. So there's a huge diversity in environment throughout Kansas. And I think, it's really funny. When my sister was living up in Colorado Springs, we would go out to visit and the boys would get nosebleeds all the time because it's so dry in Colorado Springs. They would come to see us and my brother-in-law would be like, oh, I forgot how humid it was here in western Kansas. And it's like, I know how he feels because every time I go to Kansas City or go visit my parents or whatever, it's just like, it's so humid here. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it. And literally it's a 3-hour drive and there's such a change in elevation and humidity that it can be unbearable sometimes during the summer. The fall though in Kansas, I think is probably the most beautiful time of the year. Mm. And if you want to visit one of the most beautiful places in Kansas during the fall, you need to go to Baldwin City, which is just south of Lawrence, Kansas. Every year they do something called the Baldwin Maple Leaf Festival. And this town is just littered with maple trees. And the colors change. And if you get a really nice fall, those colors just kapow all over the place. And they have this huge, I mean, this town is really tiny. I don't know how big what the population of Baldwin City is.
43.
Let's look. Baldwin City, Kansas. Population, 4,500 people. On the Maple Leaf Festival weekend, they will have 9,000 people come into the town.
Oh, wow.
They close down the street. They have a big parade. I remember as a kid participating in the parade with my marching band in grade school. And just doing, it's just a fun place, and it's so beautiful. In fact, my wallpaper right now, Zach, this three-tiered red leaf, maple leaves here, took at the Baldwin Maple Leaf Festival. There's such a diverse range of environment. You can go down to southwest Kansas has, the Monument Arch, not Monument Arch, what's the...
Monument Rock,
Castle Rock. Yeah. They've got all sorts of really cool structures. I mean, if you're looking for fossils from the deep sea time period, when Kansas was underwater, you can find those all over western Kansas. The famous fish within a fish was found out in western Kansas. Just a huge, diverse environment. And I'm just amazed that even driving I-70, I know it doesn't look great, but you see, I noticed the change in environment just going from Hayes to Kansas City and Hayes to Denver, just how diverse everything is. And like Zach said earlier, if you go 30 minutes south off I-70, either way, it's amazing. Even just going north from Hayes, you get into the whole bluff and canyon area, and it's really cool. It's really cool. So my number three reason for living in Kansas, there's a big diverse environment. So there you go. Rodrigo, you're number two.
My number two. So for my job, I drive around Kansas a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know if you guys were aware of that.
No, I did not know.
Yeah. So this is, by the way, why every time you guys are like, so what is this town? And I'm like, Greensburg.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? Like, oh, you mean Monument Rock? Like, yeah, because I'm seriously all over the place all the time. But sometimes when I'm driving, if I'm lucky, I'll be able to see one of these by the side of the road. And if I'm extra lucky, it'll be like on a country road where I can actually like hear this thing on the side of the road. And I'm talking about the Western Meadowlark.
Oh, yeah.
The Western Meadowlark is Kansas state bird. Mm-hmm. It's also the state bird of like five other states, but that's cool. We don't have to fight over it. It's like if you just grab all the states that have the Meadowlark and all the states that have the Cardinal as their state birds, that's every state in the United States, mm-hmm. except for Hawaii. So
Hawaii state bird is Don Ho.
Yeah, Hawaii state bird is a fish. No, I don't know. But the Western Meadowlark is a really cool bird. It's got a yellow belly and it's got kind of like a spotty back. And it actually makes, an extremely distinctive noise, a very mm-hmm. distinctive way in which it sings. And I really like it. And it makes like a lot of the time it doesn't sound like a bird. It sounds like weirdly electronic. Some of the chirps that it makes, they're like so high pitched and so, I don't know, like sudden, like the way that it like, I don't know what it is, but it's also very recognizable. If you listen to the chirps of a Western Meadowlark a few times, you'll be able to tell because there aren't a lot of birds that sound the same. Mm-hmm. So you should be able to spot it pretty easily. So yes, my number two Kansas state bird, the Western Meadowlark.
Very cool. Zach, your number two, please.
My number two is, Kansas is a state.
Yes, it is.
States have history.
Yes, it does.
Kansas has
a very bloody history.
A very bloody history. And you can travel over the state and read all about it. And I think I've started to think the history in Kansas is way more interesting recently. And so I think if you're a history buff, you like go on like museums mm-hmm. and, like old forts and stuff. We have all those all over the place in the state. Kansas would be a great place for you to live. One of my favorite things to do right now is to take people downtown in Hays.
Yeah, and take them on the walk.
Oh, what's the walk?
The little plaques on all.
Yeah, I take them and I make them read those because it details what all the buildings used to be when it was the old fort town.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. There's ones like this was the site of the first African American barber in Hays.
Yeah.
Nice thing. On this date, a shootout took place. A boy hid in his chair, and he was shot and killed.
Hmm.
He moved to the next placard. This was a site of a dance hall.
Yeah.
They have a regular dance here every time. A woman was stabbed to death here. On every one of these placards, it's really nice historical detail. Someone horribly died there.
Did you not take advanced video with me, and I made you guys do documentary about the history of the city?
You did not make us do about the city.
Oh, not in that class?
No.
Okay, because maybe you were in the rotation year, because I'd skip it every other year. But I'd make students do something about the history of Hays, and they'd find out all this crazy stuff like, Wild Bill Hickok and all the, all these famous Western lawmen people
mm-hmm.
that you hear. They all did their time here in Hays.
Yeah, all of them were here.
People talk about Dodge City and Boot Hill. That first was here in Hays, mm-hmm. and it's still here, actually.
Yeah. And so,
saw Dave Rudabaugh.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
For a day trip for work one time, we went up to an old, Native American, I can't remember. It's like one of those where they build their dwelling like into uh-huh. the ground or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have, it was all excavated out and it was everything. It was really cool there. We do have Sternberg here, which has the fish inside of the fish, which is mm-hmm. a great little museum we have out here.
It's got a dinosaur that roars at you.
Yeah, it's super out. It's real.
Scares the kids.
It's real.
Remember the one out here, Zach?
Hmm?
The Kansas Museum of something.
Natural history.
Something.
Natural history, yep.
In Lawrence.
And then, isn't there another fort I went to when I was younger that Lewis and Clark are at somewhere around the
city? I mean, there's a fort. Throw a rock.
I mean, they're all over the place. So if you like history,
all out for
certainly
fort,
Kansas
desert.
Is a place that you should live, or at least visit, I guess.
Okay. Matthew, what do you have for number two?
My number two is actually one of the best parts. And I'm going to say it. The best part of Kansas. And initially, it was actually an accident. because Kansas didn't want to record Dust in the Wind, but Kerry Livgren had actually created it as a finger exercise for finger picking his guitar. And his wife was like, you should totally write some lyrics to this. And so he did, and he wrote the lyrics. And it wasn't like their usual music, because I don't know if you're familiar with Carry On, Wayward Son, but that's kind of a bombastic kind of da-na-na-na, da-na-na-na. This is a quiet reflection on the nature of mortality. But Dust in the Wind actually turns out to be their most popular song, I think. And
yeah,
probably one of the best things about Kansas, carrying the name Kansas in the known universe, as far as I'm concerned, is if you tell people you're from Kansas, you'll get one of three things. Mm-hmm. You will get a Wizard of Oz joke.
Yep.
I got that.
You will get Dust in the Wind.
Mm-hmm.
And you will get another Wizard of Oz joke. Mm-hmm. And none of the Wizard of Oz jokes are ever funny. So no, every once in a while.
Never funny.
That one, I'm going to say 5-10% of the time when people make a joke about Dust in the Wind instead of clicking your shoes together. Although occasionally people will talk about the silver shoes from the book instead of the slippers.
There is
the
like,
that's nice.
There's like a 0.5% who are like, oh, like in Cold Blood.
Exactly.
Yeah. 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 Have you heard about the murders in Kansas?
Sometimes you get that lucky person who's like, oh, Superman's from there. And you're like, well, only since 1977, actually.
Yeah.
And then you
become
the problem.
And then I ruin it and they don't want to talk.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful guitar line. It's a beautiful song. And really, it's probably one of my favorite songs that you can't get away with playing on the radio because it depresses everybody. I always wanted to go and when we did like the big things. And every time somebody would play the Rolling Stones, Start Me Up. Which I hate. I hate that song. I hate it. Cameron Perry, if you're out there listening, I'm sorry, brother. Song sucks. I wanted to play Dust in the Wind as a, kind of a counterbalance. You want the crowd up. You don't want them too far up. You want them to remember, hey, we're going to win this game, but also someday we're going to die. And that's why my number two thing about Kansas, Dust in the Wind from their 1977 album, Point of No Return, K-N-O-W, No Return.
Which is also a great song.
Yes, actually, that one is pretty good. Which goes da na 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 da na na na.
My number two is it's inexpensive if you live anywhere that isn't populated in Kansas. It's inexpensive to live.
Which is most of Kansas. Right.
Yes. I mean, you can go in Western Kansas, they will give you free land. You just have to go out there and basically homestead it. You just have to go out there and build a house and live. And they will give you.
You got to hope one of the other guys doesn't own it already.
Well, no, I think they say, here's this plot of land and we'll give you money to come move out here. And here's the land and it's free. We just want people to move out to. This is like extreme, extreme Western Kansas. Like many people don't know this, but there's a tiny slice of Kansas that actually falls into the mountain time zone.
That is the most annoying thing in the world. Mm-hmm. But yes, continue. Mm-hmm.
That is the part of Kansas where they give away free land.
I don't doubt that.
Now, I mean,
nothing there.
Hayes is for whatever reason, bloated for house prices for
this
whatever reason
moves here from around.
Yeah. Our housing prices though are on par with what you're going to find in Wichita, parts of Johnson County and Douglas County.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you can get homes fairly reasonably. You can find products here fairly reasonable. You can get a sizable home for a good amount, you know, for not that much money. You can get, go to the farmer's market. You don't have to spend an arm and a leg for eggs and bacon.
No.
The only problem, though, is everybody wants to live in Johnson County. It's the most populated county in the state of Kansas. It's also the most expensive county in the state of Kansas. It's also the most affluent county in the state of Kansas.
Also the highest per capita of leather jackets.
Yeah, probably.
It's also the license plate that if you're on I-70 going either direction, you look out for those people because they will kill you.
J-O's.
You will die if you see the J-O's.
J-O's are more than just Johnson County. I remember, though, seeing Johnson County evolve because my grandparents lived there when I was growing up. So I remember, you know, this hotel that was – I felt was out in the middle of nowhere because my grandparents kind of lived out in the middle of nowhere. But, you know – Gerald Ford came and stayed there at one point. I got to meet Gerald Ford by going to this place. But Overland Park has grown so rapidly that the Oak Park Mall, which is always packed, I remember a time that was the empty mall.
Oh, really?
Where you went there and there was nothing there, nobody there. I mean, they had shops there, but it was like nobody would go there. Now mm-hmm. you can't find a parking spot there. So
no, the mall is amazing.
Johnson County is very expensive to live, followed by, I would say, probably either Wyandotte or Sedgwick County, which is where Wichita is at,
mm-hmm.
Although houses aren't too bad. And then Douglas County and probably Ellis County are probably the most, or Salina, probably the most expensive places to live. But if you're going back to what Zach said earlier about small town living, my dad, we grew up in Franklin County, one of the poorest counties in the state, which is right next to Johnson County. But he would get up every morning, 5:30, take a shower, get on the road by 6 o'clock, drive to Kansas City every day to go to work and come back. Yeah. And he loved it because they got a house, a huge house, 30 acres mm-hmm. of land. And he didn't mind driving every day. It wasn't that big of a deal. So if you don't mind driving 30 minutes to an hour to get to work, check out some of the smaller towns. It's very economical to live here. So that is my number two. All right. It is time for us to get to our big number ones. The big number one reasons to live in Kansas. And Rodrigo, what is that number one reason?
All right. So my number one. So for my job, I end up driving across the state a lot. And sometimes if I'm really, really, really lucky, I'll see one of these on the side of the road. And that's a Stuckey's. No, I'm just kidding. No, don't do that.
They're all burned
they're
out.
All abandoned.
Yeah, they're all gone. If you see a Stuckey's that appears to be working,
run away.
And you go in, yeah, somebody it's will an
adult,
kill you.
It has been turned into adult novelty store.
Auntie Alice, the hateful thing, will steal your eyes and put them in her blood-caked smock.
Now, apparently, you know, Stuckey's still exists in other states, and you can still get pecan rolls, but you can't get them in Kansas.
There's one near here. It's actually a Stuckey's Dairy Queen. I want to.
Oh yeah, that's what they turned into that. But all the ones on I-70 that Rodrigo's talking about burned out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, one of them's a pornographic.
The Lion's Den. I mean, not the.
Yeah, more than one are. Like, there's a couple that have, like, you see the Stuckey's logo, and then they just like papered something on top of it,
which is great just, like, because they only had to change the U to an I, and they just change into Stickies.
That T turns right into an F, and you just cover the S up.
Yes.
Anyway, my number one is actually not Stuckey's.
Damn it!
Yeah, no. Well, how could it be? There's none in Kansas. No, my number one is the American bison.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
The state mammal of Kansas, along with a few other states. But I've actually had a chance to like interact directly with them, and they are frightening animals.
Yeah,
they are enormous, and they are powerful, and basically
they're no dumb cows, that's for sure.
Mm-mm. No, and they're very basically, here's the deal: there are no actually wild herds of bison in Kansas.
Nope.
They're all owned by someone. But the thing about bison is that they are, in fact, so big and strong and powerful that the only way that their quote-unquote owners continue to quote-unquote own them is by keeping them happy and feeding them what they want and providing for all their needs. Because if they don't, they can't actually keep them in the same place. You can't herd bison. They are too, like, the big bulls are, like, too strong.
Yeah.
If a bison can jump about 6 feet in the air, there are no fences that aren't like big Jurassic Park fences to keep a T-Rex in that can stop a bison. Seriously, they can't. Bison can't be stopped.
Yeah. Once,
like,
they get on
the
roll.
Same stuff that can stop elephants can barely contain bison because bison also come in giant groups. So it's incredibly difficult. You can barely sedate a bison because they're like super tough. When they slaughter them, the only way that they can actually slaughter them is by like immobilizing them and then like shooting them in the head with like the highest caliber gun they can find because their skulls are so thick that like normal bullets bounce off their heads. these animals are like incredibly crazy powerful. And every once in a while, if you're lucky, you will go by and drive by someplace, like actually here in Hayes. They have,
down by the fort, by the university.
Yep. The university has a herd that they cycle around, and every once in a while you'll see them out there. And, yeah, I've been very lucky in that I've actually gotten a chance to like pet one and stuff. I was like, we were in a pickup truck, and the guy who owned them, again, quote unquote owned them, drove us right into the middle of the herd. So they were just like milling around us and stuff. It was really cool, pretty scary. And I was like, okay, so what do we do if like they get like up in our faces and stuff? He's like, just, you know, try to not die, because like you can't do anything.
Yeah. Don't roller skate.
Yeah, it's like this is like the big bull that had like that controlled the herd is like he could knock the pickup over if he wanted. Like he really could. It's nothing. So yeah. North American bison, an animal that is like really cool and actually very, very unique to the central plains of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You forgot two things, though, about the bison. One, the babies are extremely cute.
Yes.
And number two, they taste good.
Yes. Bison meat is good. I've had several bison burgers in my life. And the babies, bison, unlike cows, don't need to be calved.
Right.
Like... whereas cows need to be watched because there's been a lot of breeding stuff, and that doesn't always make them extremely viable when they're born. Bison are insanely hardy animals. They calve, I think, in the middle of winter, and the guys that own them don't go check on them or anything. The calves just drop out of their mothers, and within like a few minutes, they're walking around middle of winter covered in snow. Doesn't matter. Yeah, pretty much. Like, they already have the high score on Galaga. Like, right. It doesn't matter. Yeah. They don't care.
How are you? Yeah. I'm 2 minutes old, and I'm already sick. They're the only good thing about Nickelback.
Zach, what do you have for your number one?
So we've talked a lot about the openness and the flatness of Kansas, and that all factors into my number one, which is pretty much anywhere in the state. When that sun goes down, you can look up, you're going to see the stars.
Yeah.
And you're going to see them as clear as you can. Even in haze, you're going to see a lot of stars. You can see some stars, especially on those weird streets that don't have any street lights.
Yes.
You drive three minutes outside. You're going to see.
You just go over the hill and you will see the whole universe before you.
Yeah. It's amazing. My parents moved out a ways into the country this last fall, and I was back there for Christmas, and I mean, we're not anywhere near a town. We're not anywhere. Right. You don't even have neighbors. Mm-hmm. And you can see it. I mean, at all, in how much you can see with the human eye, you can see stars forever.
As a young lad growing up in my parents' 30 acres, during the summertime, I would go out and lay in the back of the pickup truck and just look up at the stars all night and watch the satellites fly by. Mm-hmm. Just see everything. I mean, the Milky Way, super detailed. I mean, it's just beautiful if you can get to a place where it's dark, and there's a lot of that in Kansas.
Yeah, if it wasn't so cold in the winter, it'd be great to go out in the winter, but you have to do it in the summer because it's just too cold.
I remember in college one time, it was summertime. I think it was summertime. This girl had her boyfriend just dumped her, and she was just in a terrible, terrible mood. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, come on. So we got a 12-pack of beer, and we just drove north of town, like 10 minutes north of town. And we just got out, and we just sat on top of the car, and we just watched the stars and drank beer and just talked for, like, hours. And it was awesome just to see that all around. Okay,
it's wonderful in the summer because if it's one of those super hot summers at night, it's only going to get down to about 60 or 70.
It's only going to get down to about 92. Yeah.
So it's great. So you're not really that cold. You can just sit outside on your top of the car. I love when I have my blazer because if Aubrey was busy during the summer, I would go out and I would stay out there until about 3 a.m. and just sit up my blazer. And you're right. The first time I saw satellites was really weird.
Yeah. What is that? Is that a UFO? What is that? It's coming down. Or, you know, the times that I would really do it is go out when you know that there's a known meteor shower.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can see those things just flying left and right. So,
it's awesome. Yeah. So my number one reason, without a doubt, is being able to see the stars pretty much any given night.
There you go. Matthew.
Yes.
Your number one, please.
My number one reason that it's okay, that it's fine to live in Kansas is actually not necessarily about Kansas. I used to work in a call center. You've heard me talk about this multiple times. First of all, I do not work in a call center any longer, and I'm very, very happy for that fact. I do answer a phone, not a call center. I'll argue with you because it's fine. But one of the things that I heard in the call center all the time, besides you're totally going to get fired and she slept with my husband, was I can't wait to get out of this town. And I thought about this, and most of the time the people who are like, I can't wait to get out of this town would move to Emporia or Lawrence or Kansas City. And then they'd move back. And then they'd move to Emporia or Lawrence or Kansas City. It was a different one than they did before, usually. And then they'd move back. And the number one reason to live in Kansas is that it's not where you are that makes you happy. There are a lot of questions. I mean, some will say it's who you're with. Some will say it's what you're doing. Some will say it's how you act. But the thing about living in Kansas is, yes, there are terrible moments that happen. And people will be like, oh, my God, what is your governor doing? And recently I had a discussion with a friend in Louisiana, and I said to her, oh, my God, what is your governor doing? And then I thought, that's how it feels. That's how people look at it. But when I go about my day-to-day life, you know, the things that I do here are the same things that I do when I live other places. I get up. Some days I'm happy. This morning I got up. I was mad. There were idiots on the road. They were schmucks. Literally, if I had not found a parking spot across the street from my office, I would have called in sick because I would have had to walk 5.5 blocks with no sidewalks in the snow to my car uphill both ways. Wasn't going to do that, but I found a great spot. And it made me happy for the rest of the day. And then I got to prep for the show and do all the things that I do. And I got to hang out with my cool, awesome friends on the internet. And I could do that anywhere. But it works for me here because I have this nice house. And as I mentioned earlier, I don't know about you know about this, but the guy across the street who owns the grocery store once kept my water on. And when I, on Wednesday nights, go to my role-playing game with my friends, it was 5 years before I met one of my role-playing friends, but it's okay because I'm in Kansas. It's not a question of where you are that's going to make your life worth living. It's what are you going to put into it and what do you expect to get out of it? Yeah. So if you live in Kansas or you live in Philadelphia or you live in Finland, all of these things that we've been talking about are going to be true. Probably not a biggest ball of twine. Sorry, guys. Ha ha. But you can still be happy. You can still listen to Carry On My Wayward Son. And maybe you won't see a bison, but you can go look one up on the internet. And they have those there now. So my number one reason that it's okay to live in Kansas is it's not where you are. And it could probably be worse.
It's a state of mind. Oh, wait, Kansas. It's a state and a state of mind.
No, it's just a state. There is no mind.
Finlandelphia.
Finlandelphia.
So I've lived many, many places across this country. Spent some time in Atlanta, Georgia, living down there. Spent some time on the West Coast. Loved it, living in California. And I remember when I was driving over to California, you drive through Palm Springs. And you see all these windmills all over the place in Palm Springs up on the mountains. You know, just they've been there for years. You've seen them in movies like The Rain Man.
Bloody Mess on the Highway.
Bloody Mess on the Highway. You see them there. And when I moved back to Kansas somewhat now 15 years ago, 14, 13 years ago, forget what it is. The first thing I noticed, because I'd forgotten in the 10, 15 years that I was away, how windy Western Kansas is.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And I think it was within my first 6 months of being here. I was like, man, there is so much wind here. There should be windmills all over the place to capture this. This is free energy we are just letting go out the window, metamorphorically speaking. And sure enough, that very same day that I was having this epiphany, I opened up our local newspaper and they had done not the local newspaper, but they had run a story about some national research group that showed this it was just, it was kind of a throwaway article over the windiest places in America. And there is this corridor that runs basically from West Texas all the way up to about Kearney, Nebraska, with the region between Dodge City and Hays being the windiest areas of the United States. And sure enough, Monday morning, I went in to my chair, who's at the, is a business person, I guess.
And, yes. And if you have to guess.
And I proclaimed, why are we not building windmills in Western Kansas? Look at all of this energy. Look at all of the wind that is out here. And for about 6 months to a year, all I would talk about is wind energy, that and solar. Although we did have a lot of rain that year, so that solar kind of was diminished because of the two things. Number one, lots of clouds that year. But also at the time, the solar panels had not reached the efficiency that they are now. But wind, lots of wind. People in California are smart enough to use it. Why aren't we doing it? And then somebody else latched onto this idea. And all these other counties across the state, I mean, if you drive up and down I-70 now, you will notice wind farms. Mm-hmm. Southwest Kansas is basically all wind farms now.
Yep.
Lincoln County, Kansas, all wind farms now. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful and majestic, and it just shows, look at what we're doing, where, yes, a lot of people argue that building a windmill is polluting the environment, but come on. And I was so excited. I was like, I cannot wait till Ellis County gets windmills. And then we spent five frickin' years debating the health hazards of windmills.
Well, yeah, then, they got that thiamine.
They got the electromagnetics. They got the sun will shine through them, and the flickering shadows will cause you to go insane. It will reduce the bat population because bats will fly into them. It will reduce the bird population because birds will fly into the blades and die.
The bats.
It will destroy homes because when those things build up ice and start spinning, they're going to fling off tons of ice and crash into your home.
I wish that was true.
These were all arguments that were made.
Oh my God.
And if you want to go back and look back between, I want to say, 2004 and 2007 in the editorial section of our Hays Daily newspaper, it is some of the funniest stuff you will ever read, because you had the very pro wind energy people and the anti energy people that were just fighting back. I mean, it was really contentious. Three times they petitioned to build windmills in Ellis County. And every time the county commission said no. And then university said, screw you guys, this is state property, we'll do whatever we want. And so they built two windmills. and it hasn't been a plague on the environment.
Nope.
It has not killed millions of birds or bats, or hasn't caused electromagnetic energies to cause people to go crazy. I've never once experienced shadow flicker, only because I work down in the basement.
I don't know.
They're 5 miles out in the country. But in the meantime, the state has built a crap ton of windmills. And I forget what the last number was, but I believe the goal is 30% of all of our energy production will come from wind energy.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for alternative energies, Kansas has got it.
Yeah.
And it's booming.
One of the first video projects I did, in my junior year of high school, I did a long feature thing over wind energy because our school, high school in Quinter, has one
built on the school.
Yeah, and it powers our school and contributes to the electricity and everything. And I did a thing where the wind generators, and I got to go interview the lieutenant governor of when Sebelius was governor and talk about the wind energy and all the windmills and stuff. If you want to get some land, get someone to build some friggin' windmills on your land, because you make burn.
Interestingly... my chair, who I had been telling how great windmill energy was, quietly was like, meh, 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 meh. Turns out he is a partner in a wind farm that he started literally 6 months after I told him about it. And all this time, all this time, he wasn't saying anything. And then all of a sudden, he's just like, yeah, maybe the Steven Schleicher's got something going. Let me, me and my brothers invest in a wind farm.
Let's steal all of Steven's ideas.
After I found that out, I never told him any of my ideas ever again.
Yeah.
I had a freaky experience in that I didn't go that far west for several years.
Oh, yeah. It's shocking. Oh, I mean, you come around the corner in Lincoln County.
You get on the other side of Ellsworth County.
Yeah.
And it's like the War of the Worlds, man.
Yeah.
And the day that I did it, it was misty.
Yeah.
So I come over the hill and I see the tripods coming to kill me. And then all of a sudden I'm driving along, and this occurred to me last summer too, Stephen. I want you to try and tell me. You know when you're driving and they're spinning and there's that one that isn't
spinning? Doesn't spin. Oh, I hate it.
No, wait. That one that doesn't spin, right? How hard is it to keep 200 feet turbine blades from turning? Is there like, a clutch on that?
Yeah,
thing?
They actually do. So if the wind, a lot of people were like, oh, if the wind starts blowing like it does in Western Kansas, those blades are going to snap off and all this stuff. There's actually a built-in braking system so that if it's too windy, it won't spin. And
the head turns so that the wind doesn't catch the blade.
Well, and the blades can rotate a little bit, so they're all supposed to just turn at a consistent rate no matter what the wind is. So they can,
but if it is too windy, if it's too windy, it will literally lock up and not blow. Now, the one you saw out of the 500 that were blowing was probably down or they were maintenancing, because they have crews that work on those. Pretty much like you would have a regular power plant. I know Southwest Kansas, the ones out at, what is that, Kingman? Not Kingman. I forget what the one is right before you get to Dodge City, the big one that you have there. They have four guys that
work. Spearville,
that's it. Man, Rodrigo, for someone who's the youngest person to have lived in the state, not youngest as an age, but the least amount of time in the state, you sure know so much of the state. It's almost like
my job takes me everywhere.
Wow.
In
but they I don't have, know if like, you know this, Stephen, but Rodrigo drives all over Kansas for his job.
If I'm very lucky, I can look out and it's night and I will see, because these things have like these lights and they're like intermittent.
Oh, yeah.
They blend. And they don't always match up. So, like, I'll be driving. And all of a sudden, like, if you assign a sound to these lights, which I do, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Aubrey hates them. She freaks her out.
Really?
Because, no, she hates the red lights at night because it reminds her of War of the Worlds.
Oh.
She hates it.
Mm-hmm. So awesome.
The tripods.
Well, I think they're awesome.
Here's the thing. There is still so much untapped potential for free energy, solar power included. Solar power is another big one that hasn't been explored, I think, here in Kansas. But solar cells are getting better. The salt molten tower thing is starting to catch on a little bit more. But free energy in Kansas. It's there if you want to take advantage of it. And there is certainly a number of people who will work it, and people are willing to work here. So if you want to build a wind farm, please come out here and do it. All right, there you go. Top 5 reasons to live in Kansas.
Yay.
Actually, 20 reasons to live in Kansas. All very diverse.
17.
Things we didn't include. The home of Eisenhower. And the home what's his name? Chrysler.
Yeah.
Basketball was invented here.
Basketball was kind of invented here.
World's largest prairie dog.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
That's what Matthew should have done. Is all the hokey road stop.
World's largest prairie dog. The six-legged cow.
The world's largest gopher.
They're
is
all
the
in
best.
That one place though.
Well, the world, the largest ball of twine, the deepest hand dug well.
The giant
the geographic
down there in Coffeyville.
The geographic center of the United States.
Yeah, it's up there.
Both of the contiguous and non-contiguous United States. Yep. Is here in Kansas. My brother-in-law actually proposed to his wife in the middle of America.
That's cool.
Oh, the Hellmouth?
Yes, the Hellmouth.
That's true.
The Hellmouth is here.
The salt mine. I haven't been to it.
Oh,
really
the Hutchison
to.
Salt mines? Yeah, yeah. You do take a tour of that.
Yeah, I really want to go down to it.
You be careful, because I used to live down by Salt Flats, and one day I was driving, and I'm driving, and I'm driving, and all of a sudden I crest a hill. There's about 200 feet of road that's just gone. It just fell. It collapsed in on itself.
There was one. There was one out here that did that too.
Mm. A temblor or whatever you call it.
No, it was a sinkhole, giant sinkhole. I think it had consumed 200 acres. I think is what it did.
Out in the country.
Yeah.
It was last summer or whatever.
Oh, beer rocks.
Sinkholes.
Beer rocks.
Yeah. You know, Zach was talking about how wild Kansas was. It wasn't until the Volga Germans, which Hayes has embraced the Volga Germans as all of Hayes.
Yeah.
But they didn't come until late in the city's founding.
Yeah.
And Hayes was like the wildest place in America at one time, and then the Volga Germans came in and caused everybody to settle down, which is kind of ironic because we celebrate the Volga Germans for their drinking and their partying, and yet
in the whole town was worse.
Only one day a year.
Exactly. They centralize, and the rest of the time they're very straight-laced.
Yeah, right. All right, everybody. This would be the point where we'd say, hey, go over to majorspoilers.com in the podcast posting page and share your top five reasons to live in Kansas.
Try sharing your top five reasons to live where you live.
Yes, in your state.
Stereotypes of Kansas.
Oh,
your state, your land, your area, your
country. I think, what are the top five reasons to live in your state? Oh, pitch us on that. Because, you know, someday when we hit that lottery, Zach, and I pick up and move Major Spoilers somewhere else, I'm going to need to find a place to. Yeah, it's going to be Lawrence. It's going to be Lawrence, really. Come on, let's face it. We've talked about that before, but maybe you can sell me. I was, when my sister lived in Colorado Springs. Colorado Springs is nice.
Colorado is a nice place.
Yeah, Colorado is a very nice place.
Way
Colorado.
Up in the air. You took me up on a mountain, and it took me a week and a half to recover. Thank you very much.
Well, Colorado Springs is really. In the mountains, it's like at a base of a mountain.
Although my sister did live up halfway up, Cheyenne Mountain. So,
and most importantly, Colorado Springs killed one of my many dead minivans. Yeah,
yeah. So, podcast posting page, majorspoilers.com. Top five. Thanks a lot. See you later.
If you have any questions, comments, topic ideas for future shows, or would like to sponsor a show, send an email to podcast@majorspoilers.com. Visit Major Spoilers at majorspoilers.com and be sure to check out the Major Spoilers forum. You can also follow Major Spoilers on Twitter at twitter.com/majorspoilers.